Perek Yud Tet, we move from Hashidah into the actual Perek of the Mizran of Amitah and the Mefareket Amitah. So somebody's taking this, obviously we've introduced this Perek with the last Mishnah, somebody is taking apart a bed. He wants to put it into a mikvah. So the idea over here is Mefareket Amitah Lahatpila. He doesn't have a mikvah big enough to put it into. If he did, obviously that would be great because he doesn't have to do anything. And he's taken it apart. And the question is, he took apart also the chavalim, the ropes that were on the bed, right? So let's say somebody was the carpenter. He takes it apart, or somebody touches the ropes that had been taken apart. Even though it was originally tamei, the person who has taken it apart, assuming he didn't touch the entire bed, he touched the pieces, he's tahor, because at the time that he's touching them, they are not considered to be a chibur. And since at the time that it's no longer a chibur, it loses its shem kli, it is not going to be tamei. Remember, we did learn in the previous Mishnah that if you took it apart in order to put it back together again, when you put it back together again, then it's considered to be the same bed that it always was. This is the closest that you can get to the idea of Chozrim L'Tumah Yishana on Kli Eitz. Remember, the din of Chozrim L'Tumah Yishana is unique to metallic kalim, and the question of the similarity to glass, because it can also, that we had in the Gemara and Shabbos, of course, and that is the question of whether there is a mokum to make a gezerah that people will end up either forgetting about the use of a Pohar Aduma because it's cheaper to melt it down, or forgetting about the din of Harif Shemesh that we had as a machlokas. We did not have a lamalokha like that legabe Eitzim, except where a kli is made to be taken apart and put back together again. So over there, if your bed was tamei medras, you can't simply take it apart and say, well, I'll put it together tonight to sleep on, and say that then therefore it loses its tuma. When it's put back together, it is actually going to become tamei. Now, this introduces an amazing concept, Rabosa, which is as follows. The bed currently, while taken apart, is not metame, as we just said. Is tar, despite the fact that you intend to put it back together again. So why are you putting it into the mikveh? This is an amazing halacha. You're putting it into the mikveh because the incipient tuma is also metuhar with the mikveh, you see. So the fact that this bed contains the tuma within it, which will reappear at the moment that it is a kli, doesn't mean that you cannot be tovel it while the tuma is not being exuded. So by putting each piece into the mikveh, you will avoid the problem of the bed being metame when you put it back together again. And since you don't have a big enough mikveh to be metire the bed, this is really your only option. Come on, guys. It's so much fun. At least a little smile. Okay, so we've got this new halacha over here. And what you can do over here is, even though the guy himself is tahor, you put it into the mikveh. Now we've got another question. We talked about these ropes, okay? How much of the reconnected ropes, or where you're putting a rope into a new bed, at what point is that rope considered to be part of the bed? So if the bed becomes tame, then the rope will become tame. Remember that we would generally, we would take this entire rope, go back and forth, and in both directions around the frame of the bed in order to create the base for the mattress or for the leather covering that you would put there, right? So at what point do we consider that to be a chibur is the question. And we saw earlier, you'll remember, that once you've got three batim, which means that you've gone in both directions, shti ve'erev, and you've got three rows of area, that allows you to sit on it at least, even though it's not enough for your mattress. And at that point, it's also considered to be mechuber to the mita. Now, suppose you forgot to hang up that old IBM sign that says think, and you didn't think. And you started making this bed and you ran out of rope. Boy, boy. So now you ran out of rope in the middle of weaving the bed. Now what are you going to do? Well, the only thing you could do, obviously, is you could tie a new piece of rope onto the old rope and hope that it holds together and you continue weaving your rope. So then if you did that, what would be the din of the area of the knot. So remember, the knot is never capable of being tied right at the tippy top of the other rope, obviously, because then it's going to loosen and the whole thing is going to fall apart. So we've got two issues over here. We've got the little extensions of the knots in both directions made out of the two ropes that are sitting there loosely, just hanging around doing nothing. And then we've got the question of at what point does the rope knotted on to the first rope, which is now connected to the bed and the shaykh to be mekabel tuma of midrash and so on, at what point would the person be mekabel tuma by touching the other rope around the knot? So first of all, you should know that hanogea min hakesher v'lifnim tameh. If you touch the rope from the knot back towards what was attached to the bed, in other words, back towards the original rope, then you become tameh. But if you're touching the rope from the knot towards the new part and the second rope, then you're tar, because even though it's attached, it's not considered to be attached to the bed. And remember that when it comes to a bed, we've got this new din of Tumas Midras. And Tumas Midras is not shayach to something that a Zov cannot sit on or lie on. This rope, it's all very nice to talk about it as being a chibor, but that's not going to make a din of Midras. Either something is roy to be sat on, or it's not roy to be sat on. This is not part of the same kli. Furthermore, you've got the problem of the little nime hakesher. The nime hakesher are those loose pieces of string that are tying down on either side. What's the din of those? The nime hakesher, hanogea bitzorcho, is tameh. The part, you finished now the bed, okay? Now, under the bed, you've got these little strings that are hanging down from your stupid knot because you didn't plan ahead. Okay, so now what's the din of those little strands? So the parts of the strands that, if they were removed, the whole knot would unravel are considered to be part of the rope because they're absolutely necessary. But anything that is not bitzorcho is tahar. And how do we define tzorcho? Says Rabbi Yehuda, it's the shear of shalosh etzba'ot. So up to three etzba'ot from the knot is considered to be part of the essential rope. Now the Rambam, it's so wonderful to see the issues being addressed very clearly. The Rambam points out in the Pirush HaMishnayos that this is absurd because the amount of rope that is necessary for a knot depends on the thickness of the rope. Obviously, because the knot, of course, if you use a very thick rope, so then it's going to unravel unless you've got enough space over there. So he says, what kind of shear is this of shalosh etzba'ot? And he explains that the Mishnah is predicated on our understanding that there were standards, bed standards, so that a rope that is used, and remember, there need to be standards because these are commercial items. And they were very strict Bezdin standards as well about these kind of things. If you sell somebody a bed where you made the mattress with a thin rope that's going to break, that is going to be a mekachtos. So the question is, what is the standard? And that's what we often find in the Gemara, l'may nafkamina, l'mekach u'lamimkar. So over here, says the Rambam, there was a standard rope. That standard rope is what we're giving the measurement of shalosh etzba'is.